Hello, children. I hope you all had a wonderful week and are enjoying the weekend. We did have a special lesson last Sunday with the events that were happening in Israel during that time, the Passion Week. And today we're going to get back into the lessons about Moses and the things that God has done through him for his people, the Israelites. As you remember, last time we discussed the plagues and the reason for the plagues that God has done in Egypt, and how that was significant in the sense of proving to Egyptians that the gods that they have came up with are fake gods, weak gods, and who is the one and true God. And that's what happened through the plagues. Today's format is going to be a little bit different. I will have 5 questions for you in the beginning of the lesson, and then 5 questions in the end. And there's going to be a bonus activity for all of you to try out at home, and I hope you enjoy it. So the first 5 questions. What nationality was Moses? Who saved Moses out of the Nile River when he was just a baby? How many plagues were there in total, and what was the purpose of them all? What did Moses predict will happen after the last plague? Now, I will pause sometime in the middle of the lesson for you guys to discuss these 5 questions. So, a short introduction of Moses. Moses was born a Hebrew slave in Egypt. After being rescued from danger by Pharaoh's daughter, a princess, Moses spent his life growing up in Egypt. As time goes on, Moses ends up running away from Egypt, and he spends a great amount of years outside of the slavery. He doesn't see his people suffering from the hardships that the Egyptians put them through. And one day, while watching his father's sheep, Moses receives a message from God. And that message is to go to Egypt and to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. And this request doesn't go well with the Pharaoh. Instead, as we remember, Pharaoh, who thinks he's God, says no to Moses as God. And then the plagues continue. Pharaoh is shown over and over again how powerless the gods of Egypt are. The one true God proves to Pharaoh through 10 different plagues that he rules on high. Let's go ahead and take a look at the final 10th plague. Moses tells Pharaoh that the 10th plague is going to come, and there's nothing Pharaoh can do about it. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Exodus 11, and we are going to read from verses 4 through 8. Now, picture this. Moses is before Pharaoh, because before the most powerful man probably at this time on earth. And what he's doing is he's explaining him the 10th plague. But in the explanation of a 10th plague, he is pretty much threatening Pharaoh and his people with what about to happen. So let's go ahead and read Exodus 11, verse 4 through 8. Moses said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight, I am going out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of the Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the millstones. All the firstborn of the cattle as well. Moreover, there shall be a great cry in the land of the Egypt, such as there has not been before, and such as shall never be again. But against any of the son of Israel, a dog will not even bark. whether against man or beast, that you may understand how the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All these of your servants will come down to me and bow themselves before me, saying, Go out, you and all of the people who follow you, and after that I will go out. And he went out of the Pharaoh in hot anger. Do we see the language that is being used by Moses? Now Moses, when God told him to go and tell Pharaoh the things that he wanted him to say, Moses replied saying, I can't. I don't have the right skill to talk. But we see here that Moses is not even afraid to say to Pharaoh that his firstborn child is going to die the same night. And at the same time, we see Pharaoh, he already witnessed 9 plagues that were supernatural. And he's being told that even his son is about to die that same night. Moses goes on and explains that there will be such a cry in Egypt that has never been heard before. But with the Israelites, not even a dog will bark. Isn't it interesting how God specifically describes the things that are about to happen? And the interesting part is that Pharaoh ignores all these warnings. He lets Moses leave his palace. And we see an interesting description of Moses. It says that Moses left with hot anger. After saying all these things and seeing how Pharaoh was ignorant, it angers Moses because he knows there's going to be a lot of children, firstborn children, that are going to die the same night just because one man continues to disobey God. So we'll go ahead and pause here and we can discuss the 5 questions that we have mentioned in the beginning. And they are, what nationality was Moses? Who saved Moses out of the Nile River when he was just a baby? How many plagues were there in total? And what was the purpose of them? What did Moses predict will happen after the last plague? You can go ahead and hit pause, and when we come back, we'll give you short answers to those 5 questions. First question, what nationality was Moses? If you answered Hebrew, Jew, or Israelite, those are all correct. Moses was born into a Jewish nationality, and the reason for that is when the Jews would hear Moses tell them that God is about to set them free from the slavery, they would accept him because he is one of them. If Moses was born to an Egyptian nationality or a Philistine nationality, the Jewish people won't even listen to him just because he would be considered not one of them. Second question, who saved Moses out of the Nile River when he was just a baby? And if you answered princess or Pharaoh's daughter, that would be a correct answer. When Moses was a baby, there was a law that was given out to kill every baby, every Jewish baby. To preserve Moses' life, his mother sent him out in a basket down Nile River, on which then Pharaoh's daughter found him and took care of him, brought him into the palace, and Moses got to grow up in a very wealthy family. Third question, how many plagues were there in total? If you answered 10, that is correct. There was 10 plagues. And what was the purpose of them all? The purpose was to prove that the gods of the Egypt were not real gods, but there was only one true God, and he proved all that through all 10 plagues. And question number 5, what did Moses predict will happen after the last plague? The answer to that is he predicted that all the servants of Egypt will beg the Israelites to leave. With that, we're gonna get a start on the next list of questions that you will discuss after the lesson. First question. Bible doesn't give us a specific number, but it does give us a specific detail. How many Egyptians died on the last plague? Second question. What did the Egyptians realize after all of the Israelites were gone? Third. What separated Egyptians and Israelites when they were getting too close to each other? Four. What did Moses command Israelites to do before God divided the sea? And the last question, what was the name of the sea that God divided for Israelites to pass through? Okay, let's flip a few pages to Exodus chapter 12, verse 29, and we shall read what happened on the 10th plague. Exodus 12, verse 29. Now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. From the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive, who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all the servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. For there was no home where there was not someone dead. Then he called Moses and Aaron at night and said, "Rise up, get out from among my people, both you and the sons of Israel." This had to be the darkest and most horrific night in the history of Egypt. Bible gives us a specific detail about Egyptians. It says there wasn't a household that didn't have a dead child in it. That must have been horrific. It says the cry was so loud that Egypt has never experienced, and nor will it ever experience it. And as Moses predicted, Pharaoh called in Moses and Aaron and told them to get out of Egypt. He specifically told them to get each and every one of Israelites and leave Egypt at once. And they did so. That day, for the first time in more than 400 years, the Hebrew people are finally free. They get their stuff and they walk out of Egypt. And on their way, the Egyptians give them all their nice stuff like silver and gold. They so badly wanted the Hebrews gone that they will do anything just to get them out of town. But the Israelites aren't as free as they think they are. At least not yet. I would like you to picture this moment that you are one of the children that is leaving Egypt. You just witnessed this horrifying cry in the whole city. Somebody was mourning because their child was dead. But God protected you, and you are now allowed to walk out of that town. But at the same time, imagine that you are walking out into wilderness. You have nothing with you besides a little bit of bread and the jewelry that your parents received from the Israelites. You have nothing to protect you physically from the wilderness and from the animals that are out there. Just try to imagine that. Put yourself in the position of the Israelites. So now the Israelites are out of Egypt, and very little time goes by that Pharaoh realizes what he has done. In Exodus 14, verse 5, it says, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their service." Pharaoh, being the ruler of all Egypt, has just let all his employees, all his workers, walk out. What's going to happen to Egypt if all his help leaves? They have nobody to do their work. So what does Pharaoh do? He goes after them. And it's not long until they catch up to the Israelites. I mean, the Israelites, they are on foot. They literally walked out of Egypt. But Pharaoh and his army, they are riding chariots and horses, and they're catching up very quickly onto them. And as we go on, picture this, being an Israelite, being one of the kids that are in this crowd. Picture that on one side, you have Pharaoh's army, an angry group of men with chariots and horses and weapons. And on the other side, you have the Red Sea, this huge body of water that you can't swim across, even if you tried. So imagine, what would go through your mind? Would you be afraid? I mean, this sounds like a situation where there's no way out. And that's what was going through the mind of the Israelites. They looked at a situation in the sense that they had two choices. Either give up and surrender to Pharaoh's army and go back to Egypt, or drown in the Red Sea. What would you do in this situation? The Bible tells us that Israelites who are scared, they get mad at the guy who's in charge, Moses. Let's go ahead and read Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they say to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt us in this way, bringing us out of the Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness'?" Do you see how afraid Israelites are? They're so afraid that they're starting to blame the person who led them out of Egypt. The person who stood up to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go," being the messenger of God. Now they're blaming him for doing so. They're saying, "Oh, we see what your plan was. You brought us out here to die instead of dying as slaves in Egypt. This is ridiculous. We're better off in Egypt." Can you imagine what was going through Moses' mind? Moses was probably thinking, these people just witnessed 10 plagues that happened before them in Egypt. Supernatural plagues. They just walked out of Egypt with gold and silver. And still, they're afraid. They don't trust the God who did all this for them. What would you do in this situation? I mean, it is very easy to just give up, right? But what does Moses do? Moses turns around and tells them the things that a lot of us need to hear every day. Exodus 14, the next two verses, verses 13 and 14. Moses says, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Moses tells people, why do you not trust God? The same God who sent all the plagues on Egypt to rescue you, in the same way, he will deliver you right now. Just watch and see. And then there was a moment when the Egyptians got really close to Israelites, at which point God made another miracle for the Israelites. The Bible says that there was a pillar of cloud that moved between the camp of Egypt in the camp of Israelites. On one side of the cloud, the Egyptian army was in total darkness. But on the other side of the cloud, Moses and all the Israelites could see just fine. A supernatural cloud that God has sent to make sure that Egyptians would not get a hold of Israelites. Now we get to the crossing of the sea. And it's at this point that many of you know the story. At God's command, Moses stretches his hand over the Red Sea and God parts the water. This is a runway right through the middle of the sea for all the Israelites to walk through. What had seemed impossible to the Israelites once a little while ago was now happening. They were escaping Egyptians one last time. Now they were free. And all of this happened not because Moses was a brilliant leader or because he was a super smart guy. Millions of former slaves escaped one of the greatest armies on earth because Moses trusted God and because he listened and obeyed God. Even when it looked like God had messed up and they were trapped between an army and an ocean, God had an amazing plan to rescue them. It was supernatural and hard to believe, yet it happened right in front of their eyes. The Israelites walked in between the two walls of the Red Sea, and as they got out, the Pharaoh and his army marched after them into the sea, at which point God let the sea go back into its form and all the Egyptians drowned. And there was nobody to chase them anymore. Now, before we close this in prayer, I want you to think about this one. The same God that saved Israelites from Pharaoh is the same God that you and I can trust today. When somebody lets us down, or whenever we feel anxious or afraid, or for instance when life doesn't turn out the way we want it to, we always have God in whom we can put our trust in. Because just as He was looking out for the Israelites in the desert, He is looking out for you and I. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for keeping us safe until this moment. Thank you so much, Lord, once again that we have the technology today that enables us to still have conversations with each other through these lessons and that we are able to get to know you more. Lord, I thank you for these amazing stories that we have in the Bible, the story of Moses and how he, through your guidance, let people out of Egypt. Thank you so much for showing us what obedience to you would lead us to. And as Moses was obedient to your guidance, he let your people out of slavery, out of Egypt. And thank you so much for showing us that you protect us even when we sometimes don't see that. Or when we don't see a way out, you always come through and you lead us out of the situations. Father, thank you so much for all the kids and thank you so much for this lesson. We love you and we praise you and worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, now, before you guys do this fun and exciting exercise, there are some questions that you are about to discuss with your family. And those questions are, Bible doesn't give us a specific number, but it gives us a specific detail. How many Egyptians died in the last plague? Second, what did the Egyptians realize after all of the Israelites were gone? 3. What separated Egyptians and Israelites when they were getting really close to each other? 4. What did Moses command Israelites to do before God divided the sea? And the last one, what was the name of the sea that God divided for Israelites to pass through? Now, once you're done discussing these, let's give it a try for the exercise. Now, before you do the exercise, try to imagine what would it look like to see a humongous sea to start splitting in between right in front of your eyes. I mean, that is something really hard to picture, right? I mean, I can't even imagine that in my mind, seeing a whole sea separating in two. But for this exercise, what you need is a plate, preferably a white plate, some water, pepper, and dish soap. And what would you do is you would pour some water in the plate and sprinkle a whole bunch of pepper in it. Now try to stick your finger in that water, that pepper water. And I think the most that will happen is you're gonna have some pepper stuck to your finger. Now the cool trick happens is when you put a little drop of dish soap on your finger. Try to touch the water now and see what happens.